Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Got a lot to talk about today. You ought to have a pencil and paper in your hands. It's always good. If you're driving down a road, maybe not a good idea. Or you can go to my website later on and re-listen to this show. I'll give you all that information in a minute. But a lot to talk about today. And today we're going to talk about things that are really, really, really hard to talk about. They're hard for most of the people I know. They're hard for me sometimes, but we're going to talk about them today. Welcome to Assets and Aging. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. It's going to be kind of subdued today. There's lots of political stuff to talk about. The federal government is now talking about block grants to Medi-Cal and Medicaid. I don't have time to go on into what that is talking about. I predicted it 5 years ago because it's the only way the feds could continue to support Medicaid, and it is now being talked about again. So I don't really have time to talk about block grants. Basically, block grants are that the feds would give the state X amount of dollars to run the Medi-Cal program, and when that money's used up, tough luck, you don't get any more. I think that will happen. They're calling it by a slightly different name, but I think it will happen. And there are lots of people running around very upset about it all over social media. But anyhow, that's another story for another day. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney and I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, consult an attorney, preferably the one that knows what they're talking about. And there are some of them that don't, folks. Just because you're an attorney doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. It just means you passed the bar. Anybody that knows anything about a bell curve knows that in any cohort, there are people who are above average and people who are below average, just as there are in doctors or teachers or radio show hosts. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal advice. I have a California insurance license. By the way, I had somebody call me the other day and say, this is just a scam to sell life insurance. You said you have a life insurance. Yeah, I have an insurance license, folks. I've had one for 45 years. I don't want to give it up because I've had it for a long time. But I don't sell life insurance. Because the law says that if I have an insurance license, I have to tell you I have one. Because I secretly might be trying to sell you life insurance. Oh. So anyhow, I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento, California, that allows me to prepare legal documents at your request. So yes, I can do that. So I can prepare trusts and powers of attorney and things like that at your request and direction. Contrary to popular belief, there is such a thing. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be because I want to be able to tell you the truth. Anything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. That said, the information I give here is usually correct as it relates to the subject which we're talking about here, which is what happens to us when we get older. Let me tell you how you can contact me. First of all, write this down. February the 4th, that's a Saturday, I believe. I don't have my little calendar in front of me, but I'm pretty sure it's a Saturday. February the 4th at 10 a.m. at the Crown Plaza here in Sacramento, I will be doing a workshop. It's going to be a very intense workshop. They always are. I know lots of you have been to other workshops. You've never been to one like mine. We're going to talk about problems. We're going to talk about answers. We're going to talk about what happens when we get older. We're going to talk about how do you pay for it. We're going to talk about who's going to take care of you. We're going to figure out what it's going to cost you and what the answers are. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So that's Saturday the 4th of February at the Crown Plaza here in Sacramento. If you want to make reservations, there's two ways you can do it. You can call my phone number, 800-999-8007, 800 888-999-8007. And you can go there and leave me a message, and I will get you some tickets. Or you can go to my webpage, pardon me, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and, A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G.com. Assetsandaging.com. And you can go there, and there's a place for you. By the way, when you scroll down, you can listen to my radio shows, you can listen to my podcast, you can send me an email, or there's a place where you can sign up for my workshop. You can also sign up for my free email newsletter. That's by email only, so please don't call me and say, can I mail you one? The answer is no. It's email only. So lots of ways to sign up for that workshop. Now, what else? There was something else I wanted to say, and I can't remember what it was. I don't remember. In the second half hour, I want to talk about nursing homes and penalties on nursing homes and an article that was recently in the paper, and I want to talk about it because I think it's important to, when it comes to nursing homes. All right. So look for my ads next week in the Sacramento Bee. I'll be running ads starting on the 30th, I think. But make sure you get a chance. Look at my ads running in the Bee next week for the workshop. I have a question to ask you. It's a simple question, and I'd like you to give me the answer to my simple question. Not a hard question, it's a simple question. How in the world are you going to pay $10,000 a month or more for a nursing home when you need one? How are you, or I'm gonna, how can you pay? How can you pay $10,000 or more a month for a nursing home? Now, understand, today is, this year is 2017. 10 years from now, that price will have gone up somewhere between 50 and 100%. Based on the article I'm going to read you, based on some new federal rules relating to nursing homes, you're going to see a doubling in the lawsuits against nursing homes. I'm not making it up. According to new federal regulations, I'm not making this up, if there's an incompetent person in a nursing home, they have a right to participate in their care plan. I'm not making this up, folks. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not making it up. So effective this year, if you're in a nursing home and you're incompetent, you have the right. I just found them. Hang on a second. Federal requirements of participation for nursing homes. Summary of key changes in the final rule issued September 2016. I couldn't make this up. Equal access to quality care. Oh, no, that's not the one. This is an important one. A resident representative can only exercise those rights specifically delegated to him or her. I'm going to be talking about this in the second half hour. Okay? But what I want to focus on now, we're going to come back to that stuff in the second half hour. You're going to want to hear it because it's going to double. This was all put together by the legal industry. It will double. I'm not making this number up. It will double the number of lawsuits against nursing homes, which will increase their cost because they're going to have to pay more for insurance. So how can you pay $10,000 to $12,000 a month for a nursing home? There's 110,000, 120,000 people in nursing homes. They're all paying $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 a month. So if that happens to you, how can you pay for that? How in the world can you pay $10,000? Look at your finances. Don't look at mine. Don't look at your neighbors. Don't look at your Aunt Tilly's. Maybe you can afford $10,000 to $12,000. If you can't, maybe you have a rich son who's going to pay, it isn't me, who's going to pay the $10,000 to $12,000 a month for a nursing home. I don't know. How in the world are you going to be able to afford, can you pay $5,000 to $10,000 a month for assisted living? I got a phone call from a gentleman last week who is paying $10,000 a month for his mother, and they are almost out of money, who's in memory care, which is assisted living. $10,000 a month. They're almost out of money. They have sold the house, and they have gone through all of that money. Now, understand, there is an entire cadre of people and nonprofits. That's exactly what they want to have happen. They want you broke. I'm not making this up, folks. I wish I could talk about it openly. But they want you to go broke. There's a whole group of people who believe in what's called the half-a-loaf theory, which is you spend half to keep half. I'm in the camp that says, how about if you can keep it all? But there's an entire group of attorneys and nonprofits and advisors who believe in the half-a-loaf theory. They're everywhere. So this is a family that's gone through every nickel paying for assisted living. $10,000 a month in a memory care, and they're now out of money. How in the world can you pay $12,000 to $15,000 to $16,000 a month for home care? I cannot tell you how many people I have known over the years who are broke because everybody says what? Well, Bob, I'm going to stay at home when I get sick. Great. How are you going to pay for it? It's the most expensive form of care. So answer the question. How can you pay for those? Where will the money come from? Well, I got it all solved, Bob. What's that? Well, I'm just not going into one of those places. There's 2.5 million seniors in California right now receiving some form of long-term care, and every single one of them said what? It'll never happen to me, Bob. With all due respect, that's an idiotic position to take. I see it all the time. But to believe it's not going to happen to you, that somehow all those other people were just unlucky, and you're somehow have the special magic sauce, the secret sauce, or some long-term care fairy dust, and it won't happen to you or to your mom or to your dad or to your family or to whoever it is. So where's the money going to come from? I don't know. It's not coming from me. So if this happens to you, how in the world are you going to pay for it? If you can't answer that question, do you understand how much trouble you're in? It's a really important question. It happens to 2.5 million seniors in California every year. They need some form of long-term care, whether it's at home or in assisted living or in a boarding care or in independent living or in a nursing home. Where will the money come from? And how long will it last before your family is broken? How long before the long-term care industrial complex breaks your family? How long until you're broke? You ever know anybody that lost everything to the cost of long-term care? I've known hundreds of them. You know any? Why do you think you're so special and that it's not going to happen to you? I don't have the answer for you. Hopefully, you have the answer for you, because I don't have it. How long until your family is broke? I'm talking to people right now, pardon me, who are in the process of going broke. They don't know it, but they are. Some of them know it. they're looking every month at the bank statement going down and 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 down. I got a phone call from the other day where there's three families living in one house all trying to take care of each other. And they don't have the money to pay for it. And they won't consider tapping the equity in their house. So they're going to wind up in deep trouble. Well, they're already in deep trouble. And the reason why is because it was never going to happen. So one family was ill, and then another family, part family member moved in who was ill, and now another family member who moved in who is ill, and they have no idea what to do. And here's the real tragedy. They really don't want to do the one thing that would help them. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because it doesn't matter. It may not apply to you. But they won't do the one thing. Well, because, no, we don't want to do that. So what do you want to do? Well, I don't know. There must be an answer. There is an answer. I have the answer for you. Well, but we don't want to do that. Well, then good luck. Is what I'm talking about happening to you now? If it is, what are you waiting for? What magic? What miracle do you think that's going to come? I know the unspoken miracle. The unspoken miracle is, well, maybe mom will die before it gets too bad. Bob, that's a terrible thing to say. No, it's not. It's one of the unspoken hopes. Is that before dad's dementia gets too bad, or mom's Alzheimer's gets too bad, or mom's Parkinson's gets too bad, or whatever it is, that they'll just die quietly one night in their sleep. Don't tell me that people don't think that. I know they think that. Well, if the unspoken hope doesn't always happen, though. So is this happening to you now? And if it is, write down on that piece of paper you have in front of you the three things you're doing to take care of it. Write down the three things that you're doing to avoid going broke and take care of your loved one. And what three things are you doing other than worrying about it that's really making a difference? What three things are you doing other than being in complete, total, absolute denial about it are you doing other than hoping it's all going to work out? You know a problem exists. Do you have the answers? You're writing them in front of you. You should be writing the three answers to how you're going to avoid all of this. Well, Bob, I have documents. So, what do they say? Well, it says when I die, there's no probate. I don't care what happens when you die. I don't deal with dead people. What do the documents say about what happens if you don't die? What do they say about what happens when you have the massive stroke and you're a vegetable? What do they say about dad has dementia and mom and dad did powers of attorney a long time ago, and guess whose mom's agent was on her power of attorney? Dad. Dad now has what? Dementia. Is that a good idea? Well, Bob, nobody ever told me we should change that. I know. Do you have the answers? When you come to the workshop on the 4th, we'll be talking about answers. There are answers. I have answers. My answers don't apply in every case because everybody's different, but I have answers. Do you have answers? Have you even identified the problem? Again, let's go through it again quickly. How in the world can you pay $10,000 a month or more for a nursing home, $5,000 to $10,000 a month for assisted living, or $10,000 to $15,000 a month or more for round-the-clock home care? How are you going to do that? It's a reality. It's not make-believe. There are 500 care homes or more in Sacramento County alone. Why are there that many? Because somebody must need care. 500 assisted living, independent living, boarding cares, and nursing homes in Sacramento County. And by the way, growing by leaps and bounds. Why? Because we have a baby boomer population that are soon going to become or lose their independence. Would you like to have you taken the steps that you need to have peace of mind? Well, what steps are those, Bob? That's why people sit down with me, so we can map out the steps through which a family can go to make sure that they're okay. That at least, if they can't do it all, they can do some. They at least have faced the reality of the question of, how in the world will you pay for ... Don't assume you have the luxury of time. Well, you know, Dad's getting a little older, but, you know, it's not so bad yet. What do you think's going to happen in a few years? Do you think Dad's going to stay just as healthy as he is today? Or do you think that he might get worse? And are you willing to confront that reality? You should share this radio show with other people, folks. I know not everybody's up when I do my radio shows now, but they're available on my website. And you should be pointing people toward my website and making them listen to this show, because all of you know somebody, a friend, or somebody in your family that's going through this stuff. Are these things important to you and your family? Are they issues that are, if they're not important, then I don't have anything to say to you. If they're important, then please tell me why you are sitting on your padded end and hoping it's all going to go away. You know, we all remember, you don't see it too much anymore, but there used to be little things in people's houses of the three monkeys. Everybody remember the three monkeys sitting next to each other? And the three monkeys were what? See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. Well, you can pretend to not hear it or not see it or don't want to talk about it, but it's still there. You know it's still there. Your mom knows it's still there. Your dad knows it's still there. Your sister knows it's still there. Your children know that it's there. So what are you waiting for? Well, I mean, seriously, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If the issues are important, are they going to be less important tomorrow? Is there going to be less of a crisis tomorrow? Is the window of opportunity open today? Can you guarantee it's going to be open tomorrow? Get to the workshop. Get in to see me. The consultation is free. And I'll have answers. We can talk about stuff. We can make sure it's okay. We can make sure you don't lose everything just because at the end of your life you had the wrong disease. But it has to start, like everything else, with you making the cognitive decision to get up, get off your you-know-what, and make a difference. You know, what's the old saying? Every journey begins, a journey of 1,000 steps begins with one step. This is the same thing. At some point, you have to stand up and take the step to make a difference. Now, if you know how you're going to pay $100,000 a year for care, and you have the money to do it, then God bless you. You've done okay. If you don't, then call me, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007 during the break, or go to my website, assetsandaging.com, A-S-S-E-T-S, AndAging.com and sign up for the workshop or sign up for an appointment. Follow me on Twitter. My handle is @AssetsAndAging. It's important. Well, and maybe it's not important. If it's important to you, then you have to begin to take the steps to begin to have answers to the how in the world can you pay for what long-term care is going to cost? Or are you willing to just let your family become broke financially because you didn't want to think about it? 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, I got to have some more stuff to talk about. It's really important, so stick around. You're going to love the next part. Be back in just a second or two. Okay, welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. We're going to get into some really hardcore stuff here, folks. And it has to do with nursing homes, abuse, attorneys, lawsuits, federal regulations, all of which are going to continue to drive up the cost of care, not just for nursing homes, but for assisted living for anybody. This is from an article a few weeks ago in the local paper. Everything in it was exactly what I expected to be in it. And it's titled "Penalties Are Inconsistent After Deaths in Nursing Homes." And it talks about this and this and this, and it talks about organizations. And every time somebody opens their mouth to talk about something, they're an attorney for an organization, and all of those organizations specialize in suing facilities. Okay, so what do you think this is really about? Do you think this is really about, and I've been saying this for years, do you think this is really about the state and its penalties, which are in the tens of thousands of dollars, or is this really about creating a fear in the public about nursing homes and how terrible they are, and then suing them when something bad happens? Okay, so this group, a nonprofit, studied 2,000 citations dating back to 2000. Now, let me talk about that for a minute. Do you think there have been medical advances since 2000? Do you think nursing homes have changed since 2000? Do you think state bureaucrats have changed since 2000? For instance, we don't have bed rails on beds anymore in nursing homes. There's a reason for that. But we did back in 2000. Okay? We now have medical advances to help with bed sores, to help with heel wounds, to help with dehydration, to help with all kinds of stuff. Okay? So as you go through this and you read it, remember, every time there's a regulation, there's a victim of that regulation. I'm not saying nursing homes shouldn't be regulated. I'm in them all the time, and I see things that I don't like, and I see things that I do like. I can tell you, for the most part, every nursing home I've been in is trying to do a good job. They are not trying to mess up. They did not get up that morning and say, I think I'll mess up. I think I'll do a bad thing today and just get us sued. Okay? So let me give you an example. There are different classes of citations. A AA citation is usually when somebody dies, and the penalty for that can be $25,000 to $100,000. Then there's an A and a B and so on. And as you go down, the fines get smaller. The state examines what happens and determines what the fine could be. That has nothing to do with whether or not the nursing home gets sued. It's just a state fine, and the most is $100,000. Usually there's a death that occurred, and there's gross negligence. Okay? So this nonprofit, with their attorney spokesman, studied Class A citations issued to long-term health care facilities between 2000 and 2014. The vast majority, or 1,774 cases, were issued the milder Class A citation, even though 287 of them, or about 1 in 6, involved a patient death. Okay, so they did 2,000. 1,774 of them got A's. That's 226. That means they got double A's. They're saying there were 287 of them that resulted. The difference between 287 and 226 does not sound like a really big difference, folks. But it makes it sound like that in the article because this article has a specific bent. During that period, more deaths were given a lower Class A citation than a Class AA. Wait a minute. That doesn't mean anything. Remember, just because a death occurred, lots of people die in nursing homes. That doesn't mean a citation is issued. I don't understand as a lawyer how they're making these distinctions, said so-and-so, a staff attorney for so-and-so nonprofit. A Riverside facility was given a Class A citation and a $10,000 fine in 2014 after an 82-year-old resident strangled himself falling from bed while wearing a waist restraint. Now, part of that could be because we don't allow railings anymore. Do you know why we don't allow railings anymore? Because people got stuck in the railings and sued nursing homes. So we took the railings off. It is now easier for somebody to fall. The fact that we don't know any of the circumstances of this at all. You can look it up. We could go find it and read it. It's available. But we don't know anything about why there was only a $10,000 fine. My guess is the state looked at it and found no gross neglect. Okay? In 2002, a Sacramento nursing home, this is in the same article, a Sacramento nursing home was socked with a AA citation and a $90,000 fine after a 90-year-old resident in a waist restraint died when her head got stuck in her bedside rail. Do you understand that is not apples with apples? That's why they did away with bedside rails. So now they're mad because there's no bedside rails, but when there were bedside rails, people died in them because they would get down in there and suffocate or whatever. In Arizona, my 80-some-year-old mother-in-law tried to, with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, tried to get out of bed by crawling over the rail and got stuck between the rail and the bed. And they found her, and she was fine. But she tried crawling over the rail, folks. Now, whose fault is that? Do I want my mother-in-law to be restrained by all fours? So they're comparing one death with another death that happened 12 years earlier under an entirely different set of circumstances. But the purpose of the article is to make it sound like the state of California is letting all these rich nursing homeowners off the hook. I'll guarantee you there were lawsuits in both those cases. Another death resulted from, this is from this study, another death resulted in a Class A citation and $20,000 fine in 2012 in the blood loss case at Verdugo Valley in Montrose. 4 years earlier, a Bakersfield nursing home was fined $10,000 and issued a AA citation when a resident also on blood thinners bled out from her gastrointestinal tract. I've been on blood thinners, folks. They're dangerous. You can bleed out and not know it if you bleed internally. I've been on Coumadin, warfarin. It's a dangerous, dangerous drug. It needs constant monitoring. That doesn't mean the nursing home didn't pay attention or didn't try to do... Do you see what's happening in this article? I'm going to get to more stuff here in a minute, and you'll understand where I'm going with all this. I'm not saying that it's not important to oversee nursing homes. It is. If they really want to oversee something, the state should be overseeing boarding cares, but it doesn't, very poorly. A Carmichael facility, let's bring this home, got a Class A citation and a $16,000 fine in 2004. That's 12 years ago. After a resident became severely dehydrated and died. 2 years later, a San Jose facility was slammed with a $100,000 fine and a double-A penalty after a resident there developed severe hydration. We don't know the terms of either one. So for the newspaper and this writer to simply say, oh, they were both dehydrated, so the cause of death must have been the same and the circumstances must have been the same, is just false reporting. It's incomplete reporting at best. I'm not saying nursing homes, understand what I'm saying. I'm saying there's an entire industry out there that lives off of suing facilities. They're everywhere. They're lined up waiting. There are billboards when you drive around Sacramento. I'll sue for nursing home abuse. I'll sue for elder abuse. You see them all over Sacramento. They're everywhere. So if you don't think that this article is an attempt to show how terrible it is, then you're sadly mistaken. There was one other thing, and I didn't highlight this. It was recommended that California increase the penalty amount for all citations. Of course, let's drive up the cost more and then sue them on top. By the way, the penalty goes to the state of California. It's just a tax. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm not saying it's not a good idea. If somebody, I'm quoting from something. If somebody died because of staff conduct, whether it was direct, proximate cause or not, a death is worth something, this person said. Somebody died. Shouldn't that have a higher penalty? Are you kidding me? Listen to that statement. Somebody died in the nursing home. There should be a penalty whether the staff was causal or not causal. Whether they were a direct or an indirect cause. Indirect mean they're employed there? That recommendation troubles the California Association of Healthcare Facilities. It should. The group has not read the report as of last week, but expressed concern in a written statement from the president that a new citation level for conduct resulting in a resident's death, but lacking sufficient evidence, it was a direct cause, is an unconstitutional proposition. And on and on and on. And behind all of this, I can show you organization after organization after organization that profits from patient death because of the attorney's fees they make when they refer the lawsuit to the nursing home, against the nursing home or the boarding care. I'm not saying there aren't problems in nursing homes or assisted. I'm the first to say there are. But this article is a poorly written attempt by a poorly informed person to try to compare apples and oranges. Simply because two deaths occurred from dehydration, we're going to assume the same fact pattern. No attorney that I know of would simply, with two given things, assume the same fact pattern. They would look for the fact pattern specific to that event. And I know a lot of attorneys. It's important that you understand what's going on. And along with that, I'm gonna switch gears now, and I'm going to go to something else. Now, remember, I started out this hour by saying, how'd you like to pay $10,000 a month for a nursing home? I'm telling you, with what's out and the lawsuits and the new federal regulations out there, there will be more lawsuits, and it's going to drive up the cost of care for everyone. And it's going to drive up the cost of Medi-Cal, which will drive up the cost to taxpayers. Okay, so we have a whole new set of regulations going into effect, You can read these. I got this on National Consumer Voice. The National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care, formerly whatever. I have a pop-up on my Google Words for nursing homes and Medi-Cal and other stuff. On September 28, 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services issued an updated federal nursing home regulations. The updated rule, also referred to as the final rule, is being implemented in three phases. Phase 1, November 2016, Phase 2, November 2017, and Phase 3, November 28, 2019. Now, some of these are really good, folks. I'm going to tell you, some of them are really good, but I'm going to read some, and then when I read them to you, I want you to understand the law of unintended consequences and how all of these will raise costs in nursing homes. Equal access to quality care must be provided regardless of diagnosis, severity of condition, and payment source. What does that mean, regardless of diagnosis? You mean cancer is different than dementia? Or isn't different than dementia? Arterial disease is the same as cancer? What does that mean? A resident representative can only exercise those rights specifically delegated to him or her. In other words, if your powers of attorney aren't complete, you won't have the authority to take care of mom. I've told you this is here, I told you it's coming, and it has to be specific. A resident representative can only exercise those rights specifically delegated to him or her. The facility can only allow the resident representative to exercise the rights specifically delegated to him or her by the resident. And if they can't, then it would be through an advanced health care directive or power of attorney. Here's some others I've highlighted. The resident must be given the opportunity to participate in the care planning process. By the way, that includes incompetent individuals. What if you can't? What if the person mentally can't participate? What if they participate and they issue gibberish? What if they're incapacitated and they say, I don't want those pills anymore? The resident must be given the opportunity to participate in the care planning process. Now, on the face of it, that sounds really, really, really good. In reality, that's going to create more staff time, more staff hours, and is going to raise the cost for everyone. Let's go on. The regulation expands resident involvement in and control over the care planning process. Residents now have the explicit right to identify individuals or roles to be included in the planning process. What if they can't speak? What if they're incompetent? Participate in establishing goals, outcomes of care. Now, are you a doctor? Do you have the right then? I guess you're going to have the right to determine your own course of care, even though it's a violation of all medical ethics or practice. The patient has the right to request meetings. With whom? How many? Who has to be there? Do they have to take notes? Do they need a court reporter there? Request revisions to the person-centered care plan. Receive the services and items in the care of a plan of care. See the care plan. Sign after significant changes. What's a significant change? I don't know. Here we go. This gets even more interesting. If a resident's physician is not following federal requirements, the facility can seek an alternate physician. However, the facility must discuss this with the resident. What if the resident's incompetent? And honor the resident's choice of physician if the physician meets the requirements. What requirements? This is former interpretive guidelines language that has been made into regulation. So if the nursing home doesn't like your doctor, they can go find one for you. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. The notice before a resident's room or roommate in the facility is changed. The notice before a resident's room or roommate in the facility is changed must now be in writing and include the reason for the change. So if somebody dies and you're going to get a new roommate, They have to give you the reason in writing. I'm not making this up. I'm reading this stuff to you. The right to refuse a transfer to another room in the facility now includes the right to refuse if the only reason is staff convenience. That's done a lot, folks. And you know why? Because they try to put people, for instance, who are severely demented in one wing or another so they can better concentrate on them. Now they'll be diffused. That means that right now, if you don't have dementia, you can ask for a roommate who also doesn't have dementia. So you can talk to each other. That right will be gone. The regulation specifically states that residents can choose sleeping and waking times when exercising their right to choose schedules. In addition, residents can choose their providers of healthcare services as well as their healthcare services. So that means if the nursing home serves breakfast at 8 and you don't want it to be awakened until 12, they'll have to bring you special breakfast at 12. Do you know what that will do to cost when you're trying to feed 100 or 150 people at the same time? Stop and think of the law of unintended. I'm not making this stuff up again. The right to participate in community activities has been added. What if they're disruptive? What if they're loud? What if they're screamers? What if they have dementia? Are they going to now disrupt the community activities? Because now they have the right to participate. Even if they're hitters. I know you think I'm making this up. Visitation. The rule affirms and explicitly states that residents have the right to receive visitors of their choosing at the time of their choosing. That is a bad rule, folks. That is a bad rule. There are lots of people who are excluded from visiting because they're harmful to the residents, because they're asking for money all the time, or they, trust me. There are families that try to keep other families and members away, not out of being mean, but out of protection for the loved one. They will no longer have that right. Visits from non-family visitors are now subject to resident consent and reasonable clinical and safety restrictions. The facility must have a written visitation policy and inform residents of their visitation rights. What if they're incompetent? How do you inform them? The resident's right to receive visitors of their choice is further strengthened by language, saying the resident has the right to receive visitors that he or she designates, including a spouse or domestic partner of any sex, another family member, or a friend. Trust me, folks, not everyone who visits has the best interest of that sick person at heart. You know it, and I know it. This is now going to be federal law. Everything I've read so far is going to be a lawsuit. If you don't believe me, don't believe me. But I'm telling you, all of this revolves around elder abuse and torts. This is all about other guests as well as staff and visitors can attend only if invited. So before you can have a care planning meeting with the resident, other guests as well as staff members can attend only if invited. So the family can't attend unless invited. If the person's incompetent, how do they invite? I can't tell you. I cannot begin to tell you how bad these rules are. The facility has to consider residents' needs, preferences, and the cultural and religious makeup of its population in food and meal preparation. So you can now imagine if you had 7 different religions in a nursing home, they would have to prepare food in 7 different ways, or 8, or 9, or 27, or whatever it is. Can you imagine what that does to the cost of care? So if you can't afford to pay for it now, how are you going to pay for it when all this stuff goes on? Well, let me find some other highlights here. Let's see, there was another one I had here. Communications. Use of a telephone must include TDY and TDD services. You have to provide them with a phone. Do you know what a lot of people, you know why they don't let a lot of people in nursing homes have access to a phone? Come on. Why? Because they call 911 and say they're being held against their will. For the first time, the facility must provide reasonable care to protect resident property from loss or theft. You can't do that. I can go on and on and on, but time doesn't allow me. All of these things that I've talked about in this half hour are going to lead to more and more and more lawsuits. They're going to drive up the cost of care. And that $10,000 nursing home today will be $20,000 10 years from now, mark my words. It's important that you, more than ever, that you plan for how you're going to do this, who's going to take care of you, are your documents thorough, are they complete, is there a plan, has the family talked about it, because it's not going to get better, it's going to get worser. It's going to get more expensive, it's going to become more restrictive. Get to the workshop on the 4th, call me, 800-999-8007. Go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. Sign up, get in to see me. Take care of it today. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get easier. You have to have a plan, and you have to have one in place when it's needed. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. See you here next week. Have a great day. Bye-bye.